I have two texts tonight. One is in Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12, and the other is in Jeremiah. I'll turn to Jeremiah in a moment. First in Hosea chapter 10 and verses 12 and 13. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. You have plowed wickedness, you have reaped iniquity, you have eaten the fruit of lies, because thou didst trust in thy way and the multitude of thy mighty men. And now in Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. Circumcise yourself to the Lord, and take away the foreskins of your hearts, ye men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn, that none can quench it because of the evil of your doings. This is God's appeal to the people of Israel to repent before they were carried into captivity. And they did not repent. Jerusalem was destroyed. 1,000 were killed, and women ripped up, little children, their heads bashed against stone walls. The temple was destroyed, the golden vessels taken away to the house of an idol god, and destruction came because they didn't heed. Break up your fallow ground. Don't try to please God without digging up the thorns and digging up the old stumps and making new ground. He said, circumcise yourself to the Lord. Circumcision is a picture of salvation. So here it says, circumcise your hearts. And in Ezekiel, God said, I'll circumcise their hearts. And in, again in Deuteronomy 30. So circumcise your heart, yourself to the Lord. Take away the foreskin of your heart, ye men of Judah, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn that none can quench it. Here again, so break up your fallow ground. Now back to the principal text, and I'll try to follow that in Hosea chapter 10 and verses 12 and 13. And again, in Hosea chapter 10, verse 12 and 13. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till it come and rain righteousness upon you. I'd like to first of all apply this to Christian people, and indeed it does apply to Christian people. Now, let me tell you, God never does anything big in his work until Christian people get broken up. There's a great need of a shaking and a breaking up. And let me be honest with you now. I love my friends of the regular Baptists, and I have much in common. Dr. Ketchum and I are very dear friends. I had many, many revivals, including a great campaign in Binghamton, New York, were largely supported by regular Baptists. In fact, the Bible Baptist Church in Wheaton, of which I was a member for a long time, had just about the same standards. Now we who are fundamental, independent Christians, I put myself with you, we have a great tendency to be well satisfied. And also, among good fundamental people that live a separated life and don't paint your faces and you don't smoke cigarettes and so on and don't go to movies and so on, we have a great tendency to be well satisfied and to leave the general impression that if a fellow isn't a separated Christian, he's probably not saved. If a fellow went back and got drunk after he's converted, you don't think he's really converted. If a man went on and smoked cigarettes or joined the Lord, maybe he wasn't saved. You say, I'm just saying that we, among the we fundamental independent Christians, have a great lack right here. In this church, I have noticed we have very few Christians coming forward to make a new dedication. I know the great soul-winning churches, Dr. Vick's church, the Temple Baptist in Detroit, I preached there. Dr. Lee Robinson's church in Chattanooga, where they baptized over 1,000 converts every year. Now, this is the 11th year, I believe. I say, I know the great soul-winning churches everywhere, and I know this, that where you have a great revival of people saved, lots of people saved, then you have God's people again and again coming forward to make a new start and rededicate themselves. In other words, they break up their ground, and they dig a little deeper, and they shift themselves around and find where they are, and make some new vows and start again. I heard Dr. Robinson the other day say it, and he was a little sad. He said, out of my 67 deacons, he said, there are a few of them that never have come forward for rededication. Some of the others, he said, and he mentioned Dr. Haskell, who is the chairman of the board and a noble, good man that I know. He mentioned others. He said, how often they come every now and then and said, we've been checking up and we feel we've grown cold and we want to dedicate ourselves anew to soul winning. Or somebody said, we've been neglecting family prayer. Or somebody said, we found that we haven't been giving as much as we ought. So he said, many of them do. But he said, sadly, there are some deacons in my church that have never come forward for public rededication. He was saying what I'm saying now, that all good Christians ought periodically to have a good pound the ground and shaking up and digging out the stumps and so on. Now, let me tell you, we just well face it. You can't ever raise a crop without breaking up ground. We can't raise a crop without breaking up ground. Did you know like God, somewhere in loving mercy, likes broken things? He likes broken things. He had to break up Gideon's army. Gideon, you know, had 32,000 men. The Midianites had 100,000. Well, Gideon said, good night, little pig. Every one of us have to take on three to handle this crowd, and I don't see how we can do it. God said, you got too many. He said, send everybody scared home. Well, 22,000 went home, and they only had 10,000. So Gideon said, good night. I sure am in a tight now. How can we meet them with 10,000? God says, you got too many. If you did it now, you'd think you were the hot stuff, the cat's eyebrows, just what the doctor ordered. So he said, you go down here at the creek and let everybody get them a drink, and the folks that lapped like an old put them on one side. The other says, send them home, and send everybody home with 300. Well, you're ruined now. No, you're not. You're just in good shape for God to get the glory, and God to put in His hand and do it His way. God likes things broken up. You know that? God doesn't so much impress with all our strength, nor all our righteousness, nor all our organization, nor all our safeguards and all our church constitutions and such matters. God isn't so much impressed with that. God wants Christians to be broken up. I tell you right now, I long for the time to come when I can see tears among Christians and hear new vows and hear confessions and see people starting over among Christian people. You listen to me again. You don't ever grow a crop unless you break up the soil. In West Texas, where I grew up, I remember one time, you know, when I was 10 years old, I was driving a 6-mule team out on a big ranch in West Texas, breaking ground and plowing the ground. And since that's a dry country, we use not the turning plow, but a disc plow, because it takes the hard ground better. Those great big old discs that big, and cutting down here swath about 10 inches or so for each time, and three discs and six big mules to it there. And I was driving those when I was 10 years old. And one time I remember, I said to my dad, I said, Dad, Mr. Knowles over yonder, he raises wheat, and he just uses a disc harrow. Instead of this big plow that cuts the deep, well, he just used disc harrow, and it cuts down two or three inches and kills the weeds, and he can sow his wheat and so on. He gets over it pretty quick. Yes, my dad said, but son, you notice he doesn't raise as much wheat today as some other people do, and his land is wearing out and not much good. No, you're just not going to have much of a crop, either in nature or in the spiritual things, unless you do some deep plowing. Now, I know, nobody said anything unkind about it. Nobody's even criticized to me about it. But I know well and good the general impression. Pastors are very often greatly distressed when I come for a meeting. They think I ought to start and first to pop out of the box, because God in mercy has given some great revivals and many, many, many thousands saved in great revivals. So they think, okay, he just got some special knack with sinners. No, sir. Some of you are going to be disappointed, because I've spent nearly a week's time speaking most of the time to Christian people. I know if God's going to do a big thing, He does it first in Christians. I know if God's going to raise a big crop, He does some deep plowing and stump pulling and some thorn cutting and brush burning. And if you don't have that kind of revival, you don't have much. You may have a few new names on the roll, but you don't, unless you have some changes among Christians and some plowing deep and some tears and confession and making things right and paying up bad debts and quitting the lodge and quitting your cigarettes and starting family altar, why, then you haven't had much of a revival. I'm saying God wants some plowing among Christians. Break up your fallow ground, He said. You know, the plain truth is we Christians, by nature, are still human beings. That's certainly sad, but it's true. You're a Christian, all right, but you're still a human being. That means that the old natural man is there, and by nature, he's got to be put down all the time. That's the reason Paul said, I buffet my body and bring it into subjection, lest I have preached to so many. What if God laid me aside? What if God wouldn't let me preach anymore? What if God said, Paul, you don't mean business. I'm going to get somebody that's younger, maybe, and means business, and won't cut the corner. So Paul said, I buffet this old nature and beat it black and blue and keep it down. I don't want God to lay me aside. If you don't have some of that buffeting and beating it down and keeping that old nature under and breaking him up, then you're not going to win many souls. You know that? We need some plowing among the people of God. We need some stump pulling and some weed cutting among the people of God. And so he said, then sow, don't sow among thorns. And he said, a lot of people, go ahead and sow the seed. Well, I know, but you got the ground all covered with weeds. My dad, one time we went by a crop. I remember Dad and I riding along. Dad and I had a good time. And Dad was so glad I was called to preach. And he came to hear me preach. And then became great revived and started out to winning souls again at Decatur, Texas. But back in the boyhood, I remember we rode along one day. And Dad said, that man's going to lose his cotton crop to look out. I said, Dad, how could he lose it? Lose as big a field as that? He said, he won't lose the field. He said, he just lose the cotton. He said, if you don't plow that out pretty soon, the weeds will be bigger than the cotton, and then the cotton won't ever grow. It'll just be drowned out, never have a crop at all. Be shaded out. And so, let me tell you, unless Christians dig out the weeds regularly and cultivate, then you're not going to grow any crop for God. That's God's plan. Now listen, I wish everybody here I'll start out some digging around. I wish God had put it in the hearts of some people, say, I want to start over. I want to start fanning the altar. I'm going to start to win souls. Brother Sumner, unless we have the kind of digging around among the people of God, then this church is going little old hide-bound, kind of orthodox church. You got lots of old people. You don't have many young people. Another generation, this thing will be dead. Unless you do some breaking up and go after young people and build a great Sunday school here. I'm just saying, we need some deep plowing and some stump pulling among the Christians and some weed cutting and some brush burning among the Christians. Don't sow among thorns, God said. Break up your fallow ground. We need some plowing. God bless this good preacher. One thing I like about him is he's a Bible kind of preacher and a strong preacher, and he's against sin, and he names names and goes down the line, and he ought to, and every preacher ought to. All right, so Christians, then, we need that. Did you know God likes broken things? God would rather have somebody that's weak than strong. God has chosen the weak things of the earth to confound the mighty, and the things that are not to confound the things that are, he said. And so God wants. God rather bless a poor preacher than a well-to-do one. God rather bless a widow than a woman's got a good husband with plenty of money. God would rather bless an orphan child than a child's got a well-to-do father. Did you know that? God would rather bless a little struggling group of Christians that are trying hard and crying and praying and the underdog instead of the folks that are also. We have a nice church, a wonderful building here. Oh, yes, we've got a great history. We've had some good preachers. And boy, you should see our choir with the Mother Hubbard's on. Did you say your Hail Mary before you came tonight and put on your oath, wasn't it? I'm saying, oh, you say, we got the stuff here, yes or no? That's the kind of thing God gets tired of. What God wants, God a lot rather have some of this poor and weak and struggling and scared and crying and praying and cleaning house and checking, Lord, what's wrong? Lord, help me. If there's anything wrong, I'll make it right. Lord, show me anything you need. The people to be self-satisfied is one of the damning things that kills churches. Now, you hear me. To be self-satisfied and well-content is a way to bring the curse of God on you. God says, break it up! Plow it deep! Dig up the stump! Cut up the briars! Don't sow among thorns, God said, unless my fury come on you like fire and burn you out. And that's what he said to Israel. They didn't listen. If you don't listen, then you're going to have bad trouble too, like they had bad trouble. All that, break up your fallow ground. But then now, to lost sinners, your fallow ground. Break up your fallow ground, lost sinners. In the first place, did you notice here? And the sinner's ground is naturally fallow. It isn't broken up. What I'm saying is that your heart is made for sin and fits in with sin. You know that? You don't have to plow and cultivate to get sin, just like you don't have to get out and plow and cultivate to raise weeds. You know that? Isn't it a strange thing? It's easier to raise weeds than this corn. I remember when I was a boy, barefoot, down on Red River in Cook County, Texas. My mother died, and I was staying for a little time with Uncle Tom Allen. And Uncle Tom Allen was plowing with a walking plow, lightly and by the corn. And I went down there, and I said, Uncle Tom, aren't these flowers pretty? What kind are they? He said, these are morning glories. I said, aren't they pretty? He said, they're not pretty to me. I said, don't you like them, Uncle Tom? I was five, near about 6 years old. Don't you like them, Uncle Tom? And I patted along in the fur of my barefoot. He said, no, I don't like them. He said, if you're going to like corn, you can't like morning glories. I don't like any morning glories in the cornfield. He said, if you raise morning glories, you don't raise corn. And you're going to have to make up your mind to plow up the morning glories of your life in order to have the corn God wants. You're going to have to make up your mind you can't have good weeds and have a good corn crop too. And weeds come natural to ground, and sin comes natural to the unconverted man. It's as natural. It is as inevitable. It is just as day follows night, the natural process that sin breaks out and breaks out and breaks out in a wicked man, unconverted man's heart. Is that kind of ground is God. Oh, somebody says, I wonder why a man talks so bad. He talks bad because he's got a bad heart. Out of the heart proceeded all the evil words and profanity and so on. There are people that curse and don't even know the curse. They don't care. Oh, one man said after a long string of oaths, and I rebuked him. He was high and mighty in the lodge and so on. But after a string of oaths, and I rebuked him, was on the street in the presence of other people. Why, well, said, Brother John, I didn't think anything about it. He said, I didn't mean any harm. I said, that's all the more wicked. That shows it comes from a wicked heart that doesn't care. A good man would be shocked to have a thing like that coming out of his mouth. That shows your heart's bad. In fact, you didn't think anything about it. I'm saying that the natural results of a wicked heart is wicked deeds. That's why bad habits just passing on. That's why the lost man, smoking comes natural, and a little drinking comes natural, and dirty stories and lewd pictures come natural, and you don't see any harm in the movies and so on. I don't expect you to see much harm in anything as long as you're possessed of the devil with the old unconverted heart. The ground out there on a bare ground, nobody plows it, it doesn't see any harm in the weeds. It's never learned to grow corn or grow grain or grow other good crops, and so it doesn't see any harm in it. The natural man inevitably has bad thoughts and bad words and bad habits and worse and worse and worse. Now, somebody said, when I get older, I'm going to be better. No, you won't. When you get older, you'll inevitably do worse because sin grows that way. Yes, your kind of ground grows that kind, you know. The more weeds it grows, the bigger the weeds grow. And unless you break up that ground and do some different planting, unless you go against the old nature and break up the weed, the patches, and plow some good seed and set out to work at it until that old wicked heart is broken up, you're not going to have any Christian graces and good character. I say, no way to expect a wicked lost man to grow Christian character. You can't do it. You can't do it. How many men? I knew a young couple, girl loved her, wild, out in the rough, wild West Texas country. And here's a young man. All people laughed at him a little bit. He did drink. He did cuss. A swashbuckling kind of an old rough West Texas cowhand and horsebreaker and so on. And so a young school teacher, she thought maybe I could help him. He wanted to go somewhere, so she let him take her home from a party or two. And then after a while, she kept going with him, trying to help him, and she fell in love with him and married him. Oh, he promised her, if I had a good woman like you to love me and be good to me, I wouldn't drink anymore. And he intended it that way, but he still had the feel that naturally grew weeds. He still had the dirty, bad heart that where bad talk and the drinking and the cussing and the lewdness just come out naturally. He didn't have to work to bring that out. In other words, there's no kind of work that'll keep ground unless you plow it, unless you dig it. There's no way to keep the weeds down. And so weeds came out. And God gave three lovely boys, and then finally out one day at a drunken party, went out on the creek, he and some fellas, to play poker and shoot dice and fish and drink, and they got some whiskey prescription liquor in prohibition times, and took some bootleg beer along and all, and went out there and drank, and he was suddenly seized with terrible sickness and intestinal paralysis. They rushed him to the doctor, then took him to the hospital in Wichita Falls, and died on the operating table. I was out there at the funeral. I was there, I knew all the friends in that little community where I grew up in the cattle country, West Texas. I was there. That night I saw that young widow. She nearly died with a broken heart. Three boys left to raise and drunken fathers now dead. And I went out, and she said to me, John, will you find some of the blankets out there they had out on the party, and will you find some of those mattresses and make some beds for some of the people? And so I went out there, and in the garage, unrolled a mattress. My brother, Evangelist Joe Rice, and I unrolled a mattress, and it had in still some bottles of liquor, and unrolled that, and my brother and I took them out and broke them, and I feel very keenly that was my baby sister. Now let me tell you, I don't care all the good intentions, and I do not doubt the good intentions of that man, nor his intention to live straight and clean up. Let me tell you, if you're going to clean up, you better clean up inside. It has to be fixed inside before it's outside. As our brother said in a motto in his study in here, painting the pump don't make the water good. And just fixing up a little fixing outside don't make it any good. You know that? The trouble of what's the matter with the lost man? He's lost inside. Why does he need to be born again? He's born wrong to start with, a curse from his birth, with a taint of sin, nature to sin. Why does he talk bad? It just comes natural. Let me tell you, your own little child, you can talk all you want to nice things, but your own little child, learning to talk, he'll pick up a cuss word quicker than he will something else. He'll pick up, "I won't do it." He'll pick up stubbornness and pick up lying before he'll tell the truth. Why? That's just native to the old, unconverted, natural heart of man. So then, the Lord says to lost people, you better break up your ground. You better plow deep, and he says you circumcise your hearts to the Lord. You'd better plow deep and get things fixed up. What you'd better say is, this old nature, God help me, is going to lead me to hell if I don't get it fixed. If I don't have some miracle happen to fix me inside, I'm going to ruin. I've talked to a good many people who committed great crimes. I talked to a woman in Amarillo, 45 minutes or an hour, after she'd shot another woman and killed her. There was a woman that led her husband on, and the husband been infatuated with the other woman, and so she saw her downtown with her husband's car, and she walked up and shot her. I talked to that woman. I've talked to a good many, some in murderer's row in jail. I've talked to people, and always the same thing, Brother Sumner. I know what made me do it. I never thought I'd do a thing like this. No, I know you didn't. But that's inside you now, and you better break up the fallow ground. There ought to be such a self-renunciation. I'm sick and tired of this old sin. I'm tired of this old heart. I want things fixed up, and God will help you plow it. But you better have it plowed. And Lord knows what he said here further. He says, he said, you have plowed wickedness. You plowed wickedness. Well, somebody said, Brother Russ, I'm going to try to do better. But wait a minute. All the plowing you do on the old heart, all the cultivation you do on the old heart, it's going to grow more weeds. It's going to grow more weeds. You know that? Here's a man, he's a petty thief. Now give him a college education. Now he'll be a confidence man and get away with millions. Yeah. Dr. Bob Jones says, fellow never learned to write. He couldn't write a check. Couldn't write a bad check. He couldn't forge a deed. He couldn't write a lie. I know. The more you cultivate the old wicked heart. You say, well, I'll get a man college education. Go ahead and make him a scientist. You'll make him an infidel. Make him a dirty infidel. Or when we say we'll give him good religious instruction, you'll make him a dirty modernist and a Pharisee. You go to hell, all the hotter place in hell. He'll trample on the blood of Jesus and spit on the Bible because he's got smart, you know. Let me tell you, all the cultivation and the education. I've been interested in education. I'm a graduate of Decatur College, graduate of Baylor University, did graduate work in the University of Chicago and in the Southwestern Baptist Seminary. I taught in Wayland College at Plainview. I was for many years on the trustees board of Northwestern Schools. I was for a time nominal vice president of the Tennessee Temple Schools. I'm on the board of Bob Jones University. I've been keeping up with this education business good while. But I'll tell you right now, education will only lead to more ruin if you don't fix the heart. Here's a man with a bad heart. Oh, it fixes his head. You just make him a bigger crook and more. He's got more arguments against getting saved. He's got just more arguments why he thinks it's all right to do wrong. He's just got more slicker tongue now to try to persuade somebody else to follow him in sin. Now, you plowed wickedness, God says. Oh, in Psalm 7:11, the Bible says that the plowing of the wicked is sin. Any kind of, you say, but I give to poor. Yes, I know. And teach people, if you do good like him, you can spit on Jesus. Now, the more you cultivate a wicked heart, if it doesn't lead to repentance and turning to God for mercy and the regeneration, if it doesn't make that, why, just make somebody a wickeder, blacker-hearted sinner that's going deeper in hell when he dies. I'm saying you plow. Had it already sold just to deliver and collect the money tomorrow. No, sir, poured it down the sink. He's breaking up his life. Don't throw it on thorns! Going to serve God, get things fixed up. I'd like a mean business, and like you want to live right. Oh, my. Well, all right, so the Lord says here, it's time to seek the Lord. It's time to seek the Lord. Time to seek the Lord. What do you mean? Well, first I'd said, all right, I'm the Lord, you just show me what's right and what's wrong. I'm sick and tired of sin. I have a granddaughter, little Carol Joy. She's 5 years old. She's a blonde little beauty, and she's one of the prettiest children you ever saw. And so Carol's York. And when I see her, she and I have a little joke. I said, "Well, hello there. How are you?" I say, "Where have you been all my life?" And she smiles and eats it up, you know. And I said, "What's your telephone number?" And so on with Carol's York. And some time ago, and she's only five, and one day, and her mother is the Miss Sandberg who writes from my kitchen window in the Sword of the Lord. And one day, her mother, somewhere that she was aggrieved and offended her mother, so she wanted to hurt her mother's feelings. So she said to her mother, she said, "I don't like you for a mama. I'm going to get me another mama." And she went off to herself. After a while, she came back, and she was crying. And she said, "Mama, I don't like my sins. I don't like my sins. I don't want another mama, and I don't be like that." She said, "I don't like my sins." Well, her mother said, "Then would you like for us to pray and ask God to change you? You got that bad heart, haven't you? Would you like for us to pray and ask God to fix it?" Yes, she would. She cried and so on. And so she trusted the Lord. Let me tell you, it'd be a mighty good thing somebody come around and say, "Lord, I don't like my old dirty sins. God's sick and tired of you. You ought to get sick." You know? Like some of you, like a dog going back to your vomit, you never were saved, you know. And that old rotten cow that you ate on out there like a wild dog does and made you sick in his stomach. I hope some of you get so sick of your talk and your meanness, your wickedness. Inside, oh, you're nice and pious and slick outside. God knows the wickedness of your heart. You're going to hell. You're on the devil's side. All the lewdness, God knows it. All you would do if you'd get by with it, God knows it. All you will be is you get a little older and grow and get ripe in sin. God knows it. I wish you'd get sick at your stomach over your sin. I remember Sergeant Simmons in Dallas, sergeant on the police force, had an incurable drunken habit. I just couldn't leave it alone. And why I prayed for him, others did. And one day, came home drunk, his good wife put him to bed and looked after him and all that. And he prayed and said, "Lord, I'm so sick of this dirty business. Oh, God, help me." And so he'd had such a bad case, and so he'd always insist, you know. He said the remedy, he said, is a little of the hair off the dog that bit you. He said this way to soap up, take a little bit of drink, and so a regular routine about it. And his wife started to bring him a little sip of the whiskey or so, and he said, "Get that stuff out of here and take that bottle and empty it. I don't want to ever see the stuff in my house again." And he never did. And he was a member of our church in Dallas. Let me tell you, you ought to get sick and tired of sin. Don't sow in among the thorns. Break up your fallow ground. It's time to seek the Lord and be circumcised in heart, the Lord says. It's time to seek the Lord till it come and rain righteousness. Somebody said, "Well, pray to can't do better." I know it by yourself, but thank God Jesus can do better. Jesus can do better. Yes, sir. You say, "Well, how can I be right?" I'll tell you, God's going to have to make you right inside. God's going to have to make you right. I went down to southern Missouri. A good man from Springfield, Missouri, my good friend Fred Hawkins, owns a big mill there, and he was a Baptist, one of these cussing, drinking Baptists, until he's 47 years old. Never been converted. One man wouldn't leave him alone. One man just came, bought dairy food there from his mill, and Fred told me about it and said, "I hated him. I didn't want to hurt his feelings. He's such a good customer. He had a big herd of dairy cows. And this man come and buy food, feed for his cows enough for one day. That's all." And on Saturday, enough for 2 days. And just there, because every day he'd bring along the Bible and he'd talk with Fred Hawkins about his soul. And he said, "I get so mad at him, but didn't want to lose his trade, so I had to listen to him." And he said, that went on 3 months. And said, every day he'd bring a Bible, except one day he forgot it. So went up town, bought a testament, and said, after he got through with that, they gave it to him. He said, "Here it is." And said, he bought his Bible 3 months. And he said, that went on. And Fred got on such conviction. Remember, 47 years old, a drinking, cussing Baptist. And so in his mill, he got up early, went down at 5 o'clock. And he said, afraid somebody look in the window to see him, 5 o'clock in the morning. So he went down to the basement, in a room by himself in the big mill. He got down there and prayed and said, "Lord, my friend keeps telling me you've got a new heart to give people." He said, "Lord, I ain't promised you a thing. I won't promise you I quit cussing. I've tried and tried. I've embarrassed my wife. I vowed and I didn't. I won't promise you I'll quit drinking. I can't promise you anything, Lord. I've tried." He said, "Lord, I ain't promised anything, but my friend kept saying, you give people a new heart. Well, if you've got a new heart to give to me, Lord, I wish you would. I'm so sick and tired of this old sinful heart."
Well, so he got up off his knees and didn't know much how to deal with the settle thing, you know. And so went on in a day or two, while he dropped something and crushed his finger some way and went to the doctor and broke and had to put it in splint and all that. And going back to the doctor's office, he said to himself, "Well, what do you know? I didn't cuss." Well, come to think of it, it's been 3 days since I asked God to give me a new heart. Haven't cussed since then. Well, what do you know? I said, "I believe it is." And we rode along. That man's won over 500 businessmen. He's a layman. He's won over 500 businessmen. I know some of them he won. And we rode down through southern Missouri together. And he said, "I used to run this route, bring my truck first with my big 4-mule team. I haul in flour and feed, and then a truck." And said, "Out on that tavern, I got drunk there lots of times." And down here another place said, "We used to stop there for a beer always." And on another place, "Yeah, there was another old hangout, used to drink there." And then he turned to me in choked voice and said, "Thank God I don't need it. I don't want it. Thank God I'm done with it." Amen. Let me tell you, the Lord has to do something for you if you're going to have a new crop. You got to have new ground. Get it broken up as God's blessed Spirit can do it. And be circumcised in heart and made into a new creature. And God will help you so you can do right. Aren't you tired of sin? Well, why don't you say, if you're tired of the load of your sin, let Jesus come into your heart. If you desire a new life to begin, let Jesus come into your heart. Thank God he can fix what you can't fix. But you're going to have to want it fixed. You're going to have to be sick of sin so that you can say, "Jesus, I give up to you. I'm not trusting myself. I can't do it. Jesus." But he's ready. He's ready then. And then, so he said, it's time to seek the Lord. Seek the Lord, yeah. Boy, I tell you what I'd be doing. I'd be getting on my prayer bones. I'd be begging God to have mercy on a sinner. They give an invitation, I'd say, "I'm going. I'm coming down there. I'm going to get this thing fixed." That's what I'd do. I'd go home, and if I didn't get fixed, I'd say, "Brother Sumner, I'll talk to you." Don't misunderstand me. No trouble to get fixed. But anybody seeks the Lord can find him. You going to hell, you never sought the Lord. You never turned to face him. You never asked him. And draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. Anybody looks for God can find him. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You get tired of sin, want mercy and forgiveness, you can have it. Thank God. Sow to yourself in righteousness, reap in mercy. It's time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness. He comes and like this shower, you begin to find, yes, some things you don't like, and some things hurt your feelings, and some things, like Peter when he sinned, he said, he went out and wept bitterly over his own sin. You find you can't be content with sin anymore. Somebody said about Dr. H.C. Morrison, a great old holiness Methodist preacher, and so somebody kind of poked fun because he was a holiness preacher, you know. And somebody said to him one time, "Dr. Morrison, have you got where you can't sin yet?" He said, rather sadly, he said, no, but he said, "I've got where I can't enjoy it." I have too, thank God. I've got where I can't sin, but I've got where I sure do feel bad about it. I don't enjoy it. And you can put it down now. The Lord, you seek him, and he'll rain righteousness upon you. Put it in your heart to want to do right, and put it in your heart to enjoy the Lord. And the Bible will be sweet. You'd rather be a Christian people, and you'll want to do right. God will help you. Don't you want to turn from your sin and break up your fallow ground and let God give you a new crop and rain righteousness upon you? Time to seek the Lord. But I want you to notice, Brother Sumner, do you notice this? The people don't seek him, don't find him. Anybody doesn't want him, doesn't get him. Anybody isn't tired of sin, doesn't quit it. Anybody doesn't start plowing, you don't grow a Christian crop. Better make up your mind to it. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? I wish I could first give an invitation to Christians. I don't know whether I should or not. But I'll tell you now, you Christians, we'd better have a lot of praying around here. And you better have an established habit that just everybody around here claims to be a good Christian. Better have a good checkup ever so often and come down and just say, "I've been checking up and I've been falling short on this or that and the other." You say, "Well, I'd be embarrassed." Then you better get embarrassed a while and learn to be a soul winner. If you don't get to where you're sick and tired of this humdrum, dead level, never plowing the ground, never plant anything, never reap anything. We're just nice and pious and dead. I say that kind must disgust God. We ought to have somebody saying, "I want to be a better Christian." Ought to be somebody come down here and say, "You people pray for me. I've loved them so unsaved, it must be my fault. A fellow ought to be able to win his family." Don't you think so? Yeah? All right. It's time to seek the Lord. Anybody who loved them unsaved? First of all, how many have loved them so unsaved? Don't you think it's a good thing to go to sowing and go to planting, plowing deep and then planting, and broken heart and tears, and then sow the seed? Oh, God, give a crop of repentance. I wonder how many have loved and unsaved. Let's see your hand. Loved and unsaved. All right. All right. Now, what are you going to do about it? Sow to yourselves in righteousness and reap in mercy. You can have the mercy if you sow in righteousness, you know. That's the reason the Bible said, in due season we shall reap if we faint not. All right. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's go after them these 4 days. Oh, God, help us. Let's bring them in and get them saved. Will you do that? Now, let me ask you a question. How many say I'm a born-again Christian? Maybe not a good one, as I ought to be. But thank God I'm saved. I'm not as good as I ought to be either. I'm very poor. But I'm going to say, thank God I'm saved. Let's see your hand. Born-again Christian. You know that? Boys up here, thank you, son. Or do you know you're a Christian? If you don't know it by then, you better be settling it now. If you don't know it, anybody, just a minute, just a moment, let's see here. You're born-again Christian. Thank you. Now, hands down. Now, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, when you come, blessed Holy Spirit, and start the plow and turn up the clods and to cut into the roots of sin and pull up the stumps of sin, the briars spreading everywhere. First of all, Lord, oh, we'd love to see a breaking up among the people of God, tears, confession, new vows, and going after sinners. And then we'll pray, oh, God, deal in mercy with sinners and let there be a plowing and a breaking up and a pulling of stumps and seeking the Lord in righteousness. Lord, help us. With the heads bowed, I want to have and say, Brother Rice, I'm not saved and I want to be saved. Will you lift your hand? We'll ask God to save you tonight. We'll ask God to help you right now to turn to Him and trust Him. And He will if you mean it. Will you say, pray for me, I want to be saved. Lift your hand just a moment. Lift your hand just a moment. One like that. Lift your hand just a moment.
Just yes, God bless you. God bless the lady and help her tonight, Lord. Sure, I trust you. Well, just what about it, boy, son up here? What you're not saved? You want to be, don't you? Don't you want to be saved? I want you tonight. God wants you too. May I pray for God to save you tonight? May I pray for God to save you tonight? Don't you want that? You need that, son. Don't wait to get to bed, man, all of man's temptations and troubles. May we pray God to save you tonight. God bless you. Who'll say pray for me? Let's see. Lift your hand. Anybody else wants to be saved? Anybody else tired of sin? You want God to fix your heart? Maybe like that little blonde granddaughter of mine. You say, I don't like my sins. Maybe I'm tired of them. I want to do right. Will you ask God to forgive me and clean me up and make me a new heart? Anybody else? Anybody lift your hand? Anybody else? Anybody else? Now, dear Lord, come in saving power and mercy tonight for you.